Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. Today we'll have a very special music review all about Eurovision. The glittery giant of song contests will take place in Stockholm this Saturday. Monocle's Eurovision correspondent, Fernando Augusto Pacheco, lucky enough to have that title, is heading to Stockholm this week, but before he jets off, we've trapped him here in the studio to select his favourite tracks in this year's festival from Russia, Austria, and Belarus. All that coming up on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Hello, Fernando. Now, before you select your three picks for this contest, do you think it's been a good year overall?
It's been a very good year, Ben. I was actually checking, you know, all of the 43 entries. And I remember by that stage last year, I was not so happy with it. I said, oh, maybe the events start missing, you know, the camp elements, the kitsch element. But I think this year we have plenty, you know, we have the kitsch, we have the good entries as well. And what I liked about Eurovision, that they are trying to change every year. You know, a lot of people said, oh, the Australia being in the contest, that's a novelty. Well, it can be a novelty, but I think they have to survive in this modern era, you know. So I think it's a great thing that what they're trying to do.
Not to put my Australian badge of honour on too hard and get on the defensive or anything, but Israel has been in there for quite a long time. And I'm not sure, I mean, look, I don't want to be the one to break the bad news to all of Europe, but Israel's not in Europe.
Absolutely. So welcome, Australia. I am pro-globalization in all ways.
That's good to hear. Now, look, I understand Justin Timberlake will be performing at halftime. That's an interesting choice, isn't it?
That's very, and I was surprised, you know, I was quite shocked when I see that, because there's been already some negative reaction on social media saying, you know, it's an European event. But let's remember, I mean, the main producers of Justin's songs, they're Swedes, you know? So again, it's part of this globalized world we live in. Of course, you know, we have to be careful in the next years, you know. I know for the first time the event's going to be broadcast live in the US. I mean, it's nice, but we shouldn't pander that much to the United States. But I think it's totally harmless. And Justin Timberlake is a major pop star here in Europe, very much so. So I don't see no harm, and I'll be there and I'm very excited. The only thing I'll probably be even more excited if Madonna is falling off a disco ball. Perhaps next year. Who knows?
We'll have to hope for that. It does seem to me that America does want a little bit in on the proceedings, doesn't it? I was reading something in the New York Times yesterday, presented it as a bit of a cheat sheet for people over in the US to understand what Eurovision is all about. Because as you say, it will be screening live in the US for the first time. Do you suspect maybe this Justin Timberlake storming the party, perhaps they do want in on all the fun?
Well, I think it would be a hit in a niche, you know, for certain segments of American society. Of course, it's going to be shown on Logo, which is kind of a gay network. And of course, you know, Eurovision has a good following on the gay community. But
so it makes sense then, really, doesn't it?
Of course.
Well, look, before we head any further, we do need to discuss some of the tracks specifically. First, let's hear this clip from Sergei Lazarev. This is You Are the Only One. Sergei Lazarev there, You Are the Only One. Fernando, that's your first choice, and it's also the favourite to win. That, of course, is Russia's pick for this year.
And it's a fantastic entry, if I may say. Not only the song, but the performance would be great. It would be over the top. I've seen the rehearsal so far. I mean, to be honest, I believe in the first rehearsal he even fell off stage, because, you know, he needs to think about a lot of things. It was quite tacky as well. If you remember Manzamelov's performance last year with his winning song Heroes, which again was quite a difficult performance to do.
Those wonderful animations, they're all perfectly choreographed on the screen behind him, the big digital display. It was quite exceptional.
And of course, and again, you just remember, it's a song contest, but it's broadcast live, it's on TV. So you need some sort of excitement as well.
And if you win, you have to do it twice.
Absolutely. And we're talking about Justin Timberlake here. I think, you know, Justin could learn a thing or two with Sergei as well. Another very great performer. And it's interesting because, you know, we're talking a lot about gay rights and Russia. It's interesting that Russia is sending quite, you know, a camp entry, may I say. You know, I think there's a huge gay following to this track. And, you know, and Sergei, you know, he's all oiled up. And this is a guy who had a single called Take It Off, where he was wearing pink leather pants. So, I mean, that tells you something.
It does. I mean, it is impossible to escape the political undertones that this, of course, will be sending. We saw that with the crowd's reaction to Russia's entrant last year. That track got quite a good reception, but when it was scoring quite high, there was a clear reaction from the crowd that there was quite a noticeable split there with people that didn't really know how to react. Now, Russia, even though you say this is quite a camp track, Russia is still a place where there are hate crimes against gay people, brutal murders and attacks quite often, and statistics are unreliable because they're never recorded as such. Do you think, I mean, obviously this is going to be political, but do you think that this could be ultimately a positive thing though?
Yes, I think so. I think it would be quite good for the Russian gay community if the event is hosted there, because even though there's a lot of bad things we hear in the press, I think we give, you know, we put this community on the spotlight in case if Russia wins, for example. So I think sometimes it's a bit unfair if you just boo an entry. I mean, you're not, you know, it's not a gay, well, there's elements of political, of being a political contest, but not all the time.
Well, that is Sergei Lazarev, Russia's entrant into Eurovision, the favourite to win this year. It's not exactly the Midori House pick. We'll tell you that towards the end of today's edition of the Arts Review. However, for now, we will move on to Austria, because, of course, that is the country that gave us Conchita Wurst, who won in 2014, a very memorable year indeed. Now, Fernando, you were there at that contest. How did you find it that year, and how do you think that might compare to what Austria has in store for us next?
Well, that was a very special year, and to be honest, you know, when you saw Conchita perform, you said, that's the winning song. Because sometimes we don't know the winning song by the end, but when Conchita Wurst performed with her beautiful voice, and it was like an almost James Bond track, I could totally see. Actually, that track's much better than the Sam Smith track from Spectre, I have to say. It was a very special year indeed, and the crowd was very emotional. You know, I almost cry, actually. But this year, Ben, it's a very good entry for Austria, in my opinion. But again, it's like kind of one of my little personal favorites. But I don't think we caused the same impact as Conchita. But I'm glad that we can play this track here.
Now, this is from an artist called Zoe. The pronunciation for the track, though, Fernando, perhaps I'll hand it over to you. What is the track called?
It's A Loin d'ici.
That is Loin d'ici there from Zoe. That is Austria's entrant this year. Look, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it doesn't exactly scream Eurovision winner, does it?
Well, it doesn't, but it screams Eurovision top 10, hopefully.
Oh, you're so positive.
I am very positive indeed. And I like that they decided to sing in French as well. They usually, you know, most of the artists, they are sending their songs in English. It's not even the official language of Austria, of course. But I think it sounded very nice and reminds me of one of my favorite French singers, Alizé, from the 90s. A very kind of, you know, Lolita-esque pop. And her performance, you know, there's so many flowers. It's quite cute, and I like the 90s dance element as well.
Oh, Fernando does love his 90s dance. Now, well, that is Zoe then. Our final track that we're going to discuss for today, however, is from Ivan. Now, this one is called Help You Fly. It's from Belarus, which, if all goes according to plans, will have a very memorable performance, very scantily clad performance, perhaps. I just had a bit of a Google of this before we started chatting today.
Be careful when you're Googling in the office.
Indeed, because the plans that Ivan has for his performance involves some wolves. And, well, not really much else, does it?
Yeah, and this is going to be quite controversial because I don't think you can use live animals on stage on Eurovision, but he really wants it. And so far in the rehearsals, we didn't see the live animals, but there's been, of course, a lot of footage on the internet.
So this is interesting, Fernando. I thought that we were going to discuss the fact that he wants to perform naked as being the issue, but apparently it's the live animals, not naked at all.
I think, well, when when both are combined, it's even worse. I don't think nudity is allowed as well, at least full nudity. Because let's remember, you know, I think the show goes live at 8 p.m. and maybe a lot of kids are watching. I mean, my opinion shouldn't be a problem, but EBO, I think they're really careful with that. And it's a great song as well. The Belarusians, they usually do very well.
Well, it's interesting that the nudity could be a problem, actually. You sort of expect Europe to be a little bit more relaxed in that sort of realm. But as we were just saying, it is being televised in the US, and, you know, they couldn't even handle Janet Jackson's breast. So maybe they just can't handle it at all. Before we move on, let's hear a bit of a clip. This is Ivan with Help You Fly. So that's Ivan there with Belarus's entrant. Fernando, you're a fan of that one, but it's not your absolute favorite from this year, is it?
No, but I think it's a great track, and I do hope the performance goes according to Ivan's plan, not the EBU plans.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see how that transpires. There's plenty of previews online if you are dreadfully curious, however. Now, Fernando, before we go, we should mention what the, shall we call it, the Maduri House pick for this year's Eurovision is. It comes from Latvia, doesn't it?
Good old Latvia, because they had a very left field entry last year as well, which ended up doing quite okay. And I think, again, they are using, you know, it's something you can hear in a club, you know, because of course, you know, the Eurovision tracks, they're usually very up-tempo, but sometimes very hard to get a proper electronic music. I remember when Loreen won with Euphoria in 2012, I think
that's a classic winner.
That's potentially the most electronic sounding winning song that I can think of. But, you know, this year we have this great Latvian entry, Just Heartbeat, and as you mentioned, here in Midori House, it'll be number one for sure.
Well, there you go. We've got just enough time to hear a little clip, I think. This is Justs. I wasn't innocent, I know, and things I did for sure were wrong. The time has passed so long. Feeling your heart. Very dark and deep stuff there from Latvia.
Go Latvia.
Fernando, I don't think they're going to win the whole contest, but goodness, I feel like that song might actually have some decent life beyond the Eurovision Song Contest. What do you think?
Well, I'll certainly be dancing to it at the Euro Club.
Well, it'll be playing in Fernando's lounge room, if nowhere else. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks very much to my guest, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Now, don't forget to tune in to the Eurovision Song Contest final this Saturday at 20:00 at London time. It will also be broadcasting in many territories around the world, including, for the very first time, in the United States. You have been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. This show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow, where we'll review television with Peter White from Broadcast Now. But for now, from me, thanks for listening and goodbye.